Caution, learning in progress.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Smarter Every Season, brought to you by Precision Planting's product support team. My name is Nate Burnham. I'm going to be hosting along with Freya today. So, Freya, how are we doing?
We're doing great.
It's been a while since we've been on one together, I feel like.
It has. We've been doing separate projects recently.
It's been a long road, but we're here.
Yep. Getting the band back together again.
Absolutely. So today we have a little bit more of a unique topic because it's not necessarily related to dealerships and how they function or products that go on our planters, but we're going to be talking about our Radical suite of products. And to do that, we have one of our own members in product support. We have Eli Sloniker. So Eli, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Eli, before we dive in, give us a little background of yourself. Where were you before Precision? How'd you find your way here?
Yeah. Before coming to Precision, I worked for an independent agronomist for about 3 or 4 years. Did a lot of soil testing, did a lot of research agronomy, so planting plots, analyzing plots, things like that. I actually interned at Precision Planting back in 2016 under Corey Mulbauer, our agronomist. So I had some connections there. My brother's been an engineer here for over 10 years. Okay. So obviously a few connections at Precision, but then ultimately came to Precision in 2020 and, you know, general planter support stuff, and then was brought into the Radical team about 2.5, 3 years ago.
Awesome. Yeah, and with that agronomy background, I'm sure that was a welcome switch to be able to jump back into that.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Well, let's go ahead and dive right in. I know everyone in this room is busy these days. We're gearing up for spring. So when we talk about Radical, and we kind of talk about it in terms of the Radical suite of products. So I know originally I was like, oh, cool, it's a soil sampling lab. But it goes further than that. So what are the products that are involved in the Radical suite of products, and kind of what is their functionality?
Yeah, so Radical Agronomics is a platform of products or tools in the soil sampling and soil analysis space. So if you take a step back and think about like kind of where we fit in, you know, within ag. Think about like why farmers want soil samples pulled, why we pull soil samples today. Basically, we're trying to take inventory of, you know, what the nutrient levels are in the field. And then ultimately we build a prescription off of that, fertilizer prescription. Then, you know, we decide we want to build or maintain or draw down or whatever your programs are, decide what you want to apply based off those soil test values. Typically the guys that are doing that today, for the majority are, you know, a farmer's going to go to a service provider like an agronomist, either at, you know, a fertilizer retailer or maybe an independent agronomist, or potentially maybe this is, you know, something they're kind of doing on their own. A lot of different ways to ultimately get to, you know, a fertilizer prescription, but a lot of times farmers are going to a service provider today to do that. Okay. So as far as the tools within Radical, you know, ultimately they're for those people that are going out and pulling those soil samples and making those recommendations. So the first product that someone would interact with within Radical would be GeoPress.
Okay.
So GeoPress is a device that goes on a UTV out in the field with the person that's pulling a soil sample. And basically what that device does is it blends together the sample cores that we pull and then packages them into to a container called a geotube. Okay. And then that device also labels the tube on an RFID tag, all automatically while you're driving around and pulling samples. And then that person would take those samples back to Radical Lab, which is, as far as we know, the world's first fully automated soil lab. This would live in their shop, in their office, wherever. So at the end of the day, they could take those samples back to their lab, load them on the rack, press a button, start analyzing those samples, and they could have those results back the next day, ultimately to make that fertilizer recommendation.
Okay. And you mentioned they get geotagged when you use the GeoPress. So not coming from a whole lot of experience pulling samples and whatnot, is there an issue in the traditional way of like putting it in the bags where it can get mislabeled or?
Yeah, absolutely. like I said, I did that job for a few years, so I kind of know what the pain points are with that. Number one is just it takes a long time with mm-hmm. traditional methods. So what someone would do today is as they're pulling samples, they all go into a paper soil bag. And then, you know, either in the field, they're hand labeling those bags just with a unique ID, maybe field name and a sample number, or whatever unique codes that they use. Or maybe they're labeling those sample bags ahead of time before they go out into the field. Okay. Either way, it's taking, it takes a lot of time in order to do that. And like you said, it can lead to mistakes if you're not paying attention to what you're doing, how you're labeling things or whatever. What we've heard from folks that have used GeoPress in the field so far, since we are automatically packaging and referencing those samples to their location in the field, they don't have to do any kind of labeling. So they've said they're anywhere from 20 to 30% more efficient in the field as far as they're getting 20 to 30% more covered in a day because they don't have to do that job anymore.
Yeah. And especially like how far down you're breaking that grid. Yeah. I mean, that can be hugely impactful as far as what you can do in a day.
Yeah. I mean, you know, with traditional methods, you could maybe do in a good day 400 to 500 acres in a day. So now, you know, maybe increasing that by another 100 acres or so can definitely add up throughout the year.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I have another fairly unrelated question, but still radical.
Okay.
So you were saying that so it's a platform mm-hmm. rather than just like the lab.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you said that when the soil sample goes through the lab, mm-hmm. then our software will write a prescription?
Not today, but I like where you're going. Yeah. No, I didn't mention the software aspect of it before. So yeah, we do have our own software app and website. So we're now basically the same app that you're using out in the field to collect samples is the same app that's, you know, monitoring and also, you know, controlling the lab. So now as those results are analyzed, they do automatically populate the field. And you can see those in real time as the samples from that field are running. So now there's no manual data transport from, you know, when those results come back from the lab to when, you know, now I maybe import them into another software program to make a prescription. Those stream automatically. And then, you know, ultimately, you know, we all hope to get to a point to where, yeah, from there you can build prescriptions off of that. Not there today, but ultimately, yeah, that is the kind of the long-term vision.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. That question came up because I'm thinking like our agronomists are getting these labs. Like mm-hmm. it's not going to be going to just, it is not separate from the agronomist.
Right. Yeah. You know, good point. So, ultimately, someone still has to interpret those mm-hmm. results and then make a decision based off of them, which is why, you know, really we've partnered with the agronomists mostly up to this point. But you know, like I said before, there are some farmers that, you know, do this on their own already just because they don't have a service provider in their area. And we don't want to alienate those guys or tell them, hey, no, you have to work through this agronomist that's, you know, 500 miles away or something like that. You know, really keeping options open and willing to try a lot of different models and ways to get, you know, ultimately your samples put through it and access to farmers and things. But you're right. I mean, right now we're by no means are we trying to replace the agronomist or, you know, wedge our way in between those advisory roles that they already have. Ultimately, you know, trying to get them set up with better data so they can make those decisions for their growers.
So how did Precision kind of find their way into Radical? Because it's kind of a drastic turn from what traditionally we've been doing as a company.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's always, people are always kind of surprised when they, you know, whether that be at Winter Conference or last week we were at Commodity Classic showing off the lab and they walk into the Precision booth expecting to see just row units and now here's this monstrosity of a soil lab in the middle. They're like, what is this? Yeah, so.
How does this fit on a planter?
Yeah. Where does this go? Can I get this from my dealer? project really started about 7 years ago with the launch of Smart Firmer.
Okay.
So Smart Firmer obviously goes on the planter, giving us real-time soil layers like, you know, organic matter, CEC, and then, you know, clean furrow, things like that.
Moisture,
right, things that we're all kind of used to seeing. So as soon as we launched that, people like right away asked, okay, what else can you, you know, measure with this device? So one of those things being things like phosphorus, potassium, nitrate, you know, pH, So then that's kind of what started us down the path of soil analysis is, you know, what can we measure with smart firmer? Can we measure something like that with an optical sensor? Didn't really land on a you know, good path there with smart firmer itself, but so that was 7 years ago. And then from then on, it kind of took a few paths to ultimately where we are now with what the lab looks like, what GeoPress does. And really that all kind of started coming together back when I started, I don't know, maybe 2.5, 3 years ago on with the rest of the team. The lab today is about a, you know, it's about a 10-foot by 3-foot box is, you know, what the lab is itself. You know, there's a rack that feeds samples on one side, but really the lab portion itself is about 10-foot by 3-foot. When I started, everything that you see in the lab today was blown apart and was in strewn across a 26-foot enclosed trailer. So it was just like, it looked like some kind of like weird,
a mad scientist,
Frankenstein science project thing going on in there. So that's where it started. And then here we are, you know, a little over 2 years later, and now we actually have like a legitimate productionized product. And it's, you know, it's been pretty amazing how quickly it's been improved and developed just since I've started. But really, it, yeah, it dates back to, you know, when a smart firm was initially brought
out.
Yeah.
And one of the most important things, sorry to cut you off, Freya, but it looks cool.
Yeah.
It does look cool.
Yeah. It's a, you know, when you see the manifolds working in the back and bringing in soil, people just kind of tend to stand and stare and watch it as it goes.
It is fun to watch.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask, how many people were on the team when you started working with Radical? And has it grown or has it been?
It has grown. It's definitely grown some. You know, today the development team may be around 20 or so people. I can't remember what our last tally is, but it's a very diverse group, which makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, we have obviously mechanical, electrical, software engineers working on it. And then we also have, you know, we have an in-house soil scientist. We have 2 full-time chemists. You know, all of these folks worked over time. You know, our Corey and Aaron, agronomists, mm-hmm. have been here a long time. We've also had a big part in it as well. So it's a large group. It's also a very diverse group. But it has grown some over the last
few
years.
It's not to say that, is it growing? But yeah. I know that there was a lot of people working on it way before.
Yeah.
Like, when they knew it was still years out when you joined, like,
there
was a big team.
Yeah, it's been a big effort for definitely the past few years. But yeah, it's fun to be a very part of that, you know, very diverse group.
Yeah.
And I know when Wendy, so, you know, many people would probably recognize Wendy. She joined Radical last year.
Last summer.
I had a conversation around like, hey, are you enjoying the switch over to the Radical team? And she couldn't talk enough about how cool it was like to be a part of the team, but also like the amount of effort that everyone gives. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
she just, it's a testament to, you know, our employees, but you know, she was real impressed with how the hours that people will work to try to resolve an issue is just really cool. So
yeah,
major, you know, props to your guys' team.
Yeah, no, major props to all the R&D team that's worked on it for so long. I mean, you know, a lot of those folks that have been brought onto that team, really, that's all they've done since they've been at Precision. And they've been here, you know, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
They've only worked on Radical, you know, then they've never worked on a 2020 or a plan or anything like that. So it's cool that we've had now some people that, you know, have started. And that's really all they worked on since they've been here. But yeah, it's a great team to be a part of.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is there any advantage for agronomists using Radical other than like the speed at which you can get those prescriptions out?
Yeah.
Is there like just like if speed was not in the equation, like it took exactly the same length to go through Radical versus a standard lab, is there any advantages there?
Yeah. Yeah, so we do believe, you know, aside from just the efficiency of it, that the way that we're analyzing samples within Radical Lab are better analysis methods. So I can walk through kind of how that looks side by side versus, you know, traditional methods. So in a traditional lab today, you know, those paper bags you're sending in, they'll obviously go to the lab, and then the first thing that they do is they take the soil sample out of those bags, and then they dry it. So basically, you know, varying levels of moisture throughout a field. You know, we need to separate the water mass from the soil mass, be able to measure it and be able to account for that. So easiest way to equalize moisture across samples is just to remove it all. So right away, they will dry the sample and then they'll grind it down. And that's kind of what they work with from beginning to end. Radical, we do it a little bit differently. So There's no prep process in between getting those samples back from the field and loading them on the lab. You just load them on the rack and then you run them. So we're actually doing a field moist analysis as opposed to drying that sample first. And the drying process can and does affect, you know, that final nutrient content that you'll get after analysis. So it's heavily dependent on time. It's heavily dependent on temperature. You know, especially when you're looking at like potassium readings and how, and comparing like a field moist analyzed sample versus a dry, those numbers are wildly different just because of the way that they're, you know, ultimately they're handled. So potentially if different labs have different processes for drying, that could be a source of error, even within the same lab, you know, different fluctuations between samples or whatever could ultimately lead to differences there. So that's one difference. Another difference that we have, and really the next step that a commercial lab would take, is once they dry and grind that sample, they need to take a subsample of that in order to actually analyze it. So you may send in, you know, let's say a pound of soil, and really they only take 2 grams to analyze that or to get to their final nutrient value. The way that they do that is they don't weigh it out. What they do is they take a scoop of it. So they use a soil scoop, basically a volume measurement, in order to try to get to a mass measurement, basically because it's faster. It takes a lot of time to actually weigh out 2 grams of every single mm-hmm. sample. I mean, these large labs are doing hundreds of thousands, if not, you know, millions of samples every year.
So do they have piles of dirt in the back of them?
I can only imagine the piles of the mountains of soil that they have, yeah, that they have behind the office there. But, yeah, so, I mean, they're doing hundreds of thousands of samples a year, so they're not going to take the time to weigh those out. So quickest way to do it is to take a scoop that's supposed to represent 2 grams, and that's how they get their subsample. Mm-hmm. Based off of not our own research, but actually a program that actually accredits these labs and, you know, makes sure that they're all within spec and everything. That program ran a study that they looked at soil scoop variation with soil type and things. So, you know, imagine, you know, different soil types have different densities, which they do. So it's that volumetric scoop is going to weigh different depending on if it's a sand versus a clay. You know, think about if you go to Menards and you get pick up a bag of sand versus a bag of potting soil. Right, the bag of potting soil is going to weigh about half the bag of sand, but it's the same volume of material.
Yeah, and there it's like largely dependent on density at that
yeah.
point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So based off that study, you know, just on soil type alone, it's a plus or minus 25% difference just on soil type. And then you factor in, you know, how one person scoops versus another. Basically, that's another big source of error that we see. So how does Radical Lab do it? So what we do in Radical Lab is once we first grind the sample, well, first we add water and we grind it. So we don't dry and grind, we add water and grind. Really, that is supposed to remove rocks and residue more than anything else. And then next, we need to prepare a soil slurry that we're going to analyze. So we need to add more water to it and we need to stir and agitate it. But again, we have that same problem of we need to kind of normalize moisture across those samples. We can't just dump in, you know, 500 milliliters of water and then mix it all with every single sample and send it on the next step. We need to make sure that every single sample has that same ratio of water to soil. So we do that by getting a few different readings or measurements from that sample as we go. So on the device that actually prepares that slurry, we have a sensor that measures volume. We have a sensor that measures mass, and those two things give us density. And then we also have another sensor that looks at the actual soil particle density of every single sample as well. And once we have all of those measurements, we can actually account for how much water is in the sample versus, you know, how much soil is in the sample. And then we can add water until we get to the correct ratio that we're looking for. Quick and dirty example of, you know, how that kind of works. Imagine that you're mixing, let's say, steel and water [S2] Okay. [S1] As opposed to soil and water. So if we have some background knowledge of this kind of steel, we know its density, let's say it's 10 grams per milliliter. And then we have, you know, the density of water is the same all the time. It's 1 gram per milliliter. So we have those two densities and then we mix them all together and then we measure them. You know, let's say we have 102 milliliters of solution and it weighs 120 grams. Those two things plus the known densities of steel and water, we can calculate that. Okay, there are 100 milliliters of water, and there's basically 2 milliliters of steel, basically like a 5-to-1 ratio. Once you have the known densities of each of those compounds, then it's just a math problem. So we do the same thing with soil. We know the density of water. How we get the density of soil is we use that soil particle density sensor, And that's what we use to basically calculate or use for the density of that math problem. And that's how we can figure that out. So that's my high level understanding of how that works. But, you know, basically all that to say is we are accounting for soil type changes as we analyze samples, which is something that the labs don't do. And also we're also, continuously stirring and homogenizing that sample before it's sent back to the lab to be analyzed, to the back of the lab to be analyzed. Which is another, you know, problem within the commercial lab. They can't really account for how that soil is packing into that scoop. So
right.
Basically those two issues within the commercial lab, and that's how we're accounting for it on the soil prep side. And then on the back side of the lab is the final step. So that's where we bring the soil slurry into manifolds that we have developed here at Precision. So basically those manifolds bring in slurry. They bring in chemical reagents, extractants, things like that. Mix them together. Very precise instruments, you know, from what we could tell, accurate within a half a microliter of their desired volume. And then those extractions and mixing takes place in a very set amount of time. And all that basically leading up to every single sample is analyzed in the exact same way is the purpose. So, you know, much more repeatable. And then, you know, as we go, much more accurate as well.
That's awesome. So we've kind of covered what Radical is, mm-hmm. you know, the process of how do we get here. So what does the future look like for Radical? What steps or what can you tell us about the future?
Yeah, so, I mean, within the lab itself, you know, I want to continue to get more and more analytes and things that we're measuring. I didn't mention it, but yeah, so far today, what we're measuring, pH, buffer pH, phosphorus, potassium, calcium, and magnesium. And then from that, we can get calculated CEC and base saturations. But, you know, as we go, adding more things to that, you know, making the lab a little bit quicker, you know, higher throughput, you know, some things like that. But then as far as, like, you know, future casting and, like, what other things we're working on, we talked about it at Winter Conference. We're kind of launched this large crop response study.
Okay. That was in my brain.
Okay.
I know they talked about it at Winter Conference, yeah. Like you said, and I wanted to make sure we hit it here. So
yeah.
Maybe give like a brief overview of like what is a crop response trial?
Yeah. So I guess maybe think back to, you know, why we soil test in the first place. So we soil test to get a, you know, nutrient analysis for the field. And then based off of that soil analysis, we either, you know, we build soil levels to a specific range that someone has, you know, stated as optimum, or maybe you're more so applying for that given crop year. Like, whatever your approach is, you still need like a range or a value or a rate to go out and apply it in the field. Those ranges and rates and recommendations come from, for the most part, trials and research that was done by the land grant universities, you know, state universities. As we dug into it and, you know, we brought on our soil scientist, he worked at Purdue for a long time, you know, and he brought to light as well that a lot of that data is very, very old. Mm-hmm. So if we use, University of Illinois, for example, the crop response data that, their fertilizer recommendations are based off of, those trials were actually conducted in the 1940s. Okay. Yeah. So
Hybrids are a bit different now.
Yeah, I mean, farming practices, hybrids, you know, everything's just it's a lot different now, right?
You mean things have changed over the last 80 years?
Yeah, quite a bit. That data set's very old. And then, like, you know, really the most common soil test analysis, you know, procedure or extractant, I guess I should say, is Malic 3.
Okay.
So, but those studies that were done back in 1940s weren't even using that same extractant, that same process. So really old data, really old farming practices, not even using the same soil test, you know, processes that we're using today. But that's, for a lot of people, you know, that's kind of what they're basing, that's what they're basing the fertilizer recommendations or rates off of. Yeah.
Okay.
And the other problem with that is, you know, that lab that ran those samples for the University of Illinois at that time, and really, again, the same goes for really all land grant universities. You know, University of Illinois was 1940s. A lot of the others were 50s, 60s, 70s. I think Iowa State, maybe one of the more recent in the, you know, 90s, maybe early 2000s. But for the most part, it's that, you know, 40 to 80 years old. But anyway, the other problem with that is that, you know, no other lab really has the ability to calibrate their readings off of their same readings. So I'm an agronomist. I send my soil samples to lab A, and I send them to lab B, and I send them to lab C, so three different labs. Those three labs are all going to give me a different result. So the ultimate question is, which one do I pick? Which one do I use? The reality is none of those are actually going to give you the same result as the university lab that's creating the crop response data that we're basing those fertilizer rate and recommendations off of. So what Radical is doing is, number one, we're bringing new and, current data, and then correlating that back to actual Radical lab analysis.
Okay.
So how we're doing that is started this a couple of years ago in Illinois. We've branched it out to other states within the Midwest with different collaborators. But, we go out to a field, we do strip trials with different phosphorus and potassium rates. We take that to yield, and then we also pull soil samples from those strips. We analyze them through a Radical lab, and then that gives us, different soil test levels within the field and also relative yield. So where does yield tend to, reach its optimum? Mm-hmm. And then at what soil test level does that happen at? And we can correlate that back to the Radical lab. So now what we have is current data that is actually tied to an actual lab that, really anyone can have in their location. And since everything's automated, everything's manufactured the same way, all of those labs are going to give you the same result no matter where you're at. So you cut out the lab-to-lab variation, and you equip it with actual current crop response data.
So really, we're just introducing consistency across the entire process.
Yeah, I mean, it's really like a start-to-finish kind of approach to everything. One, basically redo the lab.
Yeah.
And, improve all the sources of error within that, bring efficiency to some of the infield soil collection stuff, but then on the back end, equip it with data that ultimately is going to lead to a better recommendation for the farmer. It's going to lead to hopefully higher return on investment on whatever they're spending for fertilizer. Because, fertilizer is the highest input cost on the mm-hmm. farm. Highest input cost on the farm every year. So the fact that we're using 80-year-old data and error-prone processes in order to kind of base that decision off of, is definitely a big frustration for a lot of guys.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, especially if we can cut down on those inputs because we're mishandling them, really.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's, look ahead to the future. Like I said, we started that effort a couple of years ago in Illinois, branched out to other locations, other states last fall. So we'll continue to increase that effort. We already have a ton of other potential sites lined up that we're going to roll out here over the next couple of years. That's a database that's going to continue to grow and then becoming more and more useful.
So how many sites did you say you have right now? And then how many more?
On the crop calibration or crop response trial stuff, I want to say we have somewhere in the neighborhood of, 16 or so P&K trials in Illinois. That's probably off, but it's in the neighborhood there of 16 or so P&K trials in Illinois. And then we branch out to other states like Missouri, Michigan, Minnesota, and Ohio with just a handful of trials in those right now. But then we have people from really the majority of the states across the U.S. and a few of the – and Canada as well that over the next few years we hope to roll out trials in those places as well.
Awesome. So I know we've talked about it being limited commercial release for 2024.
Yeah.
What does that look like for Radical, and how does it maybe differ from, what a limited commercial release would look like for some of our other products, like when we did a limited commercial for Furforce?
Yeah. In some ways, we kind of follow the same pattern of, beta, limited commercial, and then, full commercial. Mm-hmm. Last year was, still definitely in beta. This year is more limited commercial, as in, we'll have a few number of labs going out to the field, but that'll be a relatively low number. But what we're going to do for this coming year is get a lot of the GeoPress units out into the field.
Okay.
And really the purpose of that is have guys get exposure to the GeoPress, the software, the app, everything like that, run it across their acres, and then they will send samples back to some labs that we'll have here in Tremont. Okay. We'll run those samples here, and then again, they can get kind of access and exposure to the results that come back from Radical Lab. And it gives us the opportunity to get exposure to more soil types that we can't get, around here just in the Midwest. So gives us exposure to more soil types without having to do like a full lab launch, you know, 20 to 30 labs this year. We can get exposure to a lot of those different areas and get guys a kind of a taste of, you know, what the platform is without fully committing to that many labs. So that's kind of the spirit of this year. Going forward into 2025, we hope, you know, the number of labs will continue to increase year over year, but kind of this year, definitely limited commercial, and big emphasis is getting geopresses out and getting a lot of samples back here in Tremont just to continue to learn on the lab stuff.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And hopefully run into, you know, and I say hopefully run into issues we may see, but you know, so as we try to get more out there, it can be addressed.
Yeah, no, I mean, soil is so variable. And just when you think you have it figured out, you find some river valley and who knows where that's got just the weirdest stuff that you got to, you know, design something different for. So yeah, that's kind of the whole purpose of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to throw a curveball at you. Something I didn't put on our list of things to talk about beforehand.
Okay.
Do you have a fun story or cool story, like maybe a light bulb moment or just like, this was a really cool experience in your time with Radical so far?
I mean, there's been a lot of just nights of, late nights in, I guess initially when we first rolled out labs in fall of 2022, trying to get them set up and, you know, running in a person's location, like with any beta stuff, you know, there's always issues and things you're working through, but yeah, just like 2 a.m. in some guy's shop being just slap happy and with a couple engineers trying to figure out why things aren't working yet, but we're past that point. You know, if we're definitely past those days, but I don't know. I can't think of anything specifically other than just a bunch of kind of late slap happy nights trying to get stuff working in some guy's shed and, you know, in the middle of nowhere. So yeah.
Sounds like it's been a fun, but wild ride.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. And then hopefully it'll get just more and more fun as we go.
Absolutely. Frey, am I missing anything or do you have any questions?
I don't have any normal questions. I have a curveball question, which is so unscientific, but as you say slap happy, I'm thinking like, have you put anything that's not dirt through the lab and gotten some interesting results? That's what I would be if I were in that position. I would be tempted.
I know we were next to a potato field in the shop, and I don't know, like potatoes would just kind of randomly end up in random locations just to kind of like, I don't know, mess with one another. Like you'd put a potato somewhere and they'd open up a door, like a trap door, and find a potato and stuff like that. So
more on the practical.
It never made it through a lab, but yeah, obviously no, I think only soil as far as I know has actually gone through a lab, but yeah, we'll see. Stay tuned on that one.
Well, very good. I don't want to keep you any longer than we need to. I appreciate you taking the time to come down. It's been a pleasure, and it's been great. I enjoyed learning a little bit more about it. I know I've been asked questions over, you know, being at different, you know, farm shows and whatnot, and now I feel like I understand it a little bit better.
Yeah.
Thoroughly confused.
Yes. Yeah. Well, now only when you were talking about math, because we got to remember, you know.
I was told there'd be no math. Yeah.
Well, our regular listeners, they know I was homeschooled, so.
Okay. Yeah. No, thanks for having me on. That was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, thank you everyone for tuning in. And, you know, as always, we want to recommend that if you have any, you know, show ideas or things you want to hear, things you didn't like hearing or didn't find beneficial, you know, please let us know at smartereveryseason@precisionplanting.com is our email address. So we love getting feedback, so continue to send those in. And we will see you again next time.